go right at this, so I'm asking everybody in Jesus' name. I feel like anxiety exists in this room, in this house right now. So I'm praying in Jesus' name for a spirit of peace to settle on every single one of us, including me. Thank you, Jesus. Right now we receive that. We receive what you have for us. We thank you, Jesus, for your anointing, for your spirit that has settled in this place and is permeating our hearts and our minds even at this very moment. Thank you, Jesus, your glory. Amen. Amen. I've been speaking on something that I want us to hear and understand very clearly, because this is I'm gonna rip through some really good stuff that God has given me for this morning. And Devin is going to come up and share afterwards, but oh, just some fantastic stuff. This is really good. This is meat. You guys hungry?
Yeah.
Hungry? Yeah. Nice. There's some good meat here. There's even some mush in here. That means it's easy to digest stuff. There's going to be some easy to digest stuff, and there's going to be stuff that you might have to gnaw a little bit. That's okay. Yeah, just gnaw a little bit. Gnaw at it. But it's a good gnaw. Like, is it good food? I'm going to talk about Jesus. Jesus told us, and he said it in Revelation. I'm going to go back right there, smack right there, Revelation chapter 5, because this is where the Lord's taken me and I, this principle, this teaching, this understanding. Revelation chapter 5, where he speaks this, and starting in verse 8, says, when he had taken the scroll, this is Jesus, the four living creatures. Remember, this is after John was shown that this scroll wasn't able to be opened because there was nobody worthy in heaven that was able to open it. And then now here comes this lamb that was presented, and he says, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders, they fell down before the lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, and listen to this song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. You have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. There's nobody left out there. Nobody left out there. He's redeemed all of mankind, and that you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. That whole understanding there, I feel like I'm going to be in this for quite a while. So, but we're going to go through it. We're going to go to it. We're going to tackle it, and we're going to have fun in it. Enjoy it and eat it up. What does that look like? What does that mean to be made? Jesus made us a king and a priest. Remember, I talked a couple weeks ago about how we've developed some of our ideas. That first thing that comes to our mind when we think of the word king and priest. So I'm going to do really, really very simple. The most simple understanding that I want to give you is one that I feel like the Lord's given me. It's really easy. It's one sentence. One sentence. Royalty in position, priestly in purpose. Get it? They go together. Remember how he talked about like a king and a priest? They're like two, they're two different things. Totally two different things. A king is royalty. Royalty, that which is to be served and to rule over people when we think of a king. But a priest is one who represents the people and is a servant to the people. That's what priesthood is. So this idea that he says you made us a king and a priest is like, wait, that's too, that doesn't fit. It's like a, what does it call it, an oxymoron? Royalty in position, priestly in purpose. Royalty in position, priestly in purpose. In other words, you are in Christ, an heir of God and a co-heir with Christ. You are, as a follower of Jesus, an heir of God. You are a prince of the king. You are a child of God. You are royalty in purpose. Don't get it. Don't let it get too far in your head, because you're called to be a priest. You're royalty in position, and you're a priest in purpose. In other words, what your function is as a Christian now is a king, but yet your function is a priest. There's service to people, service to God, service to people. So let's get into this, because at the core, listen, I'm going to go right through this because I think this is so crucial to understand and to live at the core of our priestly duty, and we're going to talk about that another time, maybe even next week, I don't know if we'll deal, our posture as royalty, how important that is to understand and to live in that. But here's what I'm going to focus on all morning. The core of our priestly duty is understanding and living by the biblical worldview of the law of causation. And yes, that's a sentence that I didn't read it anywhere. It sounds like a really smart sentence because I'm not that smart, so it must have been the Holy Spirit. The core of our priestly duty is the understanding and living by the biblical worldview of the law of causation. What's the law of causation? Very simple. It's the law of reap what we sow, if you will. Cause and effect. With every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. But here's what this is exciting. This is the biblical worldview of this. Because there's other worldviews that have this principle into effect. So many of it, every religion has this principle as a core of their belief system. You guys even tracking with me for a second? Mm-hmm. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Without even saying it? Well, yeah, a little bit. What is the core belief of Buddhism and Hinduism together? You can combine these together. Karma. Karma. Karma is another belief because, now listen though, we're going to attack the biblical worldview of what this means. Because karma, and I studied it and looked into it, and this is really good to understand. Karma has this, where it's an every action, there's an equal reaction to. In other words, when you do bad, something bad is going to happen to you. When you do good, something good will happen to you. And of course, that means into this, maybe this life, or even into the next life. So much so that everything that even exists, and everything that exists to, you know, they even define it like this, is how come people can be born with a handicap? How come people can be born into poverty? How can people, because they're born into that? Well, their answer to that is simply this, karma. Because somewhere in their past life, somewhere in a past life, they did bad, they did wrong to somebody, so therefore that is their payment now in this case. And if they're born into wealth and health, then they must have done good somewhere in the past. You guys understand that? This is very real, and it's really popular. And it's even a little bit attractive because it puts everything, it leaves God completely out of the picture. And all the responsibility is on you. I want you guys to track me with this on this because what we're going to deal with today is the biblical worldview of how this actually is a truth in the Bible, how this law is a truth in the Bible. It's the law of reaping what we sow. And it's a law of causation, which is basically cause and effect. So I got six of them. Six laws, six spiritual laws of the harvest. Ooh, it's getting good. It's going to get really good. This is awesome. Track with me really fast, because I'm going to roll through this, try to just only say what the Lord wants me to say. Nothing what Eric says, it's all going to be from the Lord. I'm going to try. I'm going to attempt. First one is we only reap what has been sown. We only reap what has been sown. And there's a passage of scripture, Galatians chapter 6. Let's go there, Galatians chapter 6. I actually got the verse tagged. You guys with me this morning? Good, 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 good. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Listen to this. It says, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For if he sows to his flesh, will of the flesh reap corruption. But if he sows to the Spirit, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Let's talk about this for a second because I think this is really important. What does that mean when he says, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked"? Let's talk about that. I know I've discussed that verse times in the past, but I need to rehash it because I think it's really important for us to understand what that means. Because that sounds like an interesting statement in that, like, but if I don't understand what that actually is saying, I'll miss the whole point of what he's actually saying there. There's a real live deception that goes on in us mocking God and thinking that we can do one thing and get away with it and God not deal with us in it. Do you understand that? You understand that? Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take that and let's spin it in the positive side. God is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him. God is looking, ooh, yes. And this verse I love so much, it's 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord are looking to and fro, looking to whom He may instill His strength into those whose heart earnestly seeks Him. Do you realize that? God is looking to and fro all over the earth, looking into hearts, your heart, my heart, right now, yeah. Right now, looking who He can instill His spirit of strength and grace into your life. That's awesome. That's awesome to me because that's saying, that's putting such a positive spin on that, that we reap what we sow. He's saying, I am looking to put into you, all you have to do is seek me with your heart, and I'm looking to instill within you my spirit, my strength, my grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Yeah, go ahead.
When reading that verse, the mocking part, what came to my mind, it would be the two men who stood before the Lord and prayed.
Mm-hmm.
One was, oh, I'm this and great, and the other one said, forgive me, I'm a sinner. And one walked away justified.
Amen. Yeah. The word for mock, another word and another way to understand it, I think simply is snub your nose. Snub your nose. That's what that actually is meaning, is whereas, I can do what I want and it's not going to matter. In fact, who are you, God, to tell me how I need to live anyway? Who are you, preacher man, how to tell me how I need to live anyway? Who are you to say that we need to do things this way or that way? I just snub my nose. I don't need that. I don't need any of this. What you're doing in that is simply you're walking in a deception, because that is a deception. It is a deception. That's what he tells us, that there's a deception in that you think that you can snub your nose at God and just get away with you living however you see fit to live. However you think you should live, however you feel like living today, is mocking God if it doesn't fit in the parameters of how God says, I have by my grace given you my ways to go. My way to go. Oh. Devin and I got into some conversation this week. It was really fun because he's leaving today. Right after church, he's gonna get on the road and drive down to LA, and we were just talking some stuff about how the different, we can switch some words out in the Bible, and not that we switch words and change what the Bible is saying, but how the different words can mean the same things. And I discovered this as I was doing the study this morning in Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8, and the wording was this, and the wording was, as we discussed this, it was fun. We did a little road trip this week, and I mean, we didn't go anywhere, we just worked. That's what a road trip is for me. Come on, we're going on a road trip. Oh yeah, and by the way, we're going to move furniture and stuff in the midst of this road trip. Yeah, and he's still broken. Everybody was giving me a bad time. He's broken, and you're making him work. It's like, yeah, he's fine. He's got a rod. It can't break anymore. It's got a rod in his leg. And the word was grace that we talked about, and how that can be interchanged. And the word that he was saying is another word for grace. It was the word gift. He said the word gift can be interchanged with the word grace. As in, God's gift is another word, way we could say it is God's grace in your life. As God gives gifts to you to be used, you to be used by God to glorify God. And if you interchange that with the word grace, it works and it fits in the same way. And I said, well, there's even another word. And I kind of threw it in there. I said, what about power? Those three words can be interchanged and they can be used in the same way when we just switch those three. But here's the neat thing in those is, like when you read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says this. And I'll use all three words. Watch this. This is really cool. Ephesians chapter 2 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Listen to this. For by power you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, lest anyone should boast. And then it is, for by the gift of God you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Listen to this. Let's use it with the word gift. You guys following with me on this? This is really cool because it works. Because it gives me an understanding of what grace is, and it gives me an understanding of what the gift is. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the power of God. Hallelujah. That's cool. That fits and that works good, huh? It is the grace of God. And so, do you know what that does? Have you ever heard anybody say, well, it's my gift. My gift that God has given me to be used by God. You ever heard anybody say that? Maybe you said it. Now put the word power and grace in there, and you can't say that, can you? It's my power that God has given me. Uh-oh. That just messed that all up. Maybe we should not be saying it's my gift. Maybe it's God's gift that he so chose to give to me, to be used by God for his glory. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. That just worked, didn't it? You guys are so funny. Okay, we only reap what we sow. We only reap what has been sown. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. So here's the sowing part. The sowing is by God. Listen to this. This is so cool. This is the gospel, my friends. God has sown love into this world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God sown love by his son into this world. Guess what the reaping is? You and I get to receive everlasting life. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 There is not a better deal ever in eternity on the planet that has ever been offered to mankind. Amen. And that is Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God has sown his gift, his love into this world, and we just have to reap it, just receive it, and reap the benefits of his sowing. Amen. Oh, isn't that good news?
Amen.
That's the gospel. Yeah. That's the gospel. Hallelujah. There ain't no karma in that. Jesus done did it. All we got to do is walk in it and receive it. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Here's another way. We only reap what has been sown by others. Some of you, even in this very room right now, are reaping the benefits of people sowing into your lives. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a very real principle of truth. Amen.
Amen.
What's the challenge for you? What's the call for you? Sow into people's lives good and grace and goodness and mercy and kindness and love and patience. Sow that into people's lives so that there can be reaping on the other end. Hello? We also only reap what we sow by ourselves, unto ourselves. In other words, what I invest in, I reap. What I sow, I reap. I'm not going to mock God by saying, oh, I can do whatever I want. And you know what another mockery of God is? And it's the flip opposite of, well, I'm going to snub my nose and do whatever I want. Another mockery of God is to say, well, God wants me to just, you know, never think about myself, never... You know, I'm just supposed to be this lowly person. It's like, no, I'm be just self-pity, you know, pity party person that goes around and like I'm just a poor white trash. I'm just supposed to be, you know, hopeless and helpless. And it's like, heck no, that's a mockery to God because he's saying if you just simply sow into your life of the Spirit, you will reap of the Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's good news. That's really good news. You guys, anybody with me on this?
Yeah.
Anybody with me? Okay, good. Hallelujah. Good. God, this good stuff. That's only the first one. I got to roll through this because I got to give Devin some time. Okay, number two. We reap the same in kind that we sow. We reap the same in kind that we sow. Follow real quick. Simple. The evidence is in procreation. Right? A man mates with a woman. What do you get? Another human. Right? You're not going to get an iguana. Right? You're just not. It's common sense, right?
Yeah.
It's common sense. This isn't that difficult. We reap the same in kind that we sow. John chapter 3, verse 6. Listen to this. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Amen. In Matthew 12, 34 and 35. Matthew 12, 34 and 35. Let's go there real quick. This is good stuff too. It says, and this is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. Verse 34 says, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasures in his heart, brings forth evil things." You reap in the same kind that you sow. Hello? And that goes back. You can see how these laws or these rules, they actually are in conjunction with each other. It's the laws of the spiritual harvest, which are really, really simple to understand. But I think it's important for us to understand and apply it to our everyday life as Christians, as followers of Jesus, as the priests that God's called us to be. Number three, rule three is we reap in a different season than we sow. We reap in a different season than we sow. In other words, this requires us to invest and say, okay, there might be an investment of good into people's lives, into this world. You're not going to get the result instantly. Hello? Amen. Right? I know that's a hard one to swallow because I like instant. Don't you? Don't you like it when you order something, you want it right now? Yeah. Yeah. I know Brian's not here as our server minister, man. He's, you know, it's there. Sometimes there's a waiting period. Things have to be prepared. This involves prayer. This involves sowing of prayer, sowing of love, sowing of kindness into people's lives to where the benefit of that, the reaping of that, may be down the road. It may not even be in your lifetime. Even there is that very risk that you can reap and you can sow into people's lives and into this world and into ministries, and you may not even reap the benefits right away, maybe not even in your lifetime. James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8 says, "Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So this is, it's important for us to understand that there is sometimes a patience that is involved, a waiting. Another word for patience, and I always say this, and I always think that this is very true, is that the word, when he refers to the fruit of the Spirit, one of the evidences of the Holy Spirit in your life is, of course, love, joy, peace, and then this other one, patience. The best word for that is not patience, honestly, in the English language. The best word for that is perseverance, where we stick with it. We don't give up. We don't quit. That's the best word, where we persevere. We persevere. So, real quick, are you seeing how all of these laws and these principles fit in every area of your life? They can be applied in every single area of your life. Every relationship, every financial choice, everything that you do every single day, where you work, how you work. How everything you do, these rules are actually active. It's a matter of whether or not you apply them and you walk in them. Amen?
Amen.
Rule four. Yeah, this is great. You guys are so much fun. You guys are really patient with me. I love that. We reap. This is an awesome one. Listen to this. We reap more than we sow and in proportion to how much we sow. That's really cool. This is really cool. To me, this is the grace of God.
Amen.
Played out. We reap more than we sow and in proportion to how much we sow. Let's take, for example, the farmer sowing a seed. The very literal seed that he sows into the ground. If he only were to reap the seed that he sows, would it be at all beneficial for him to only get seed for seed?
No.
Hello, that's silly. It's common sense to know and understand the spiritual application. That's why so many of Jesus' illustrations were about farming. We're about the land. We're about toiling. We're about planting. Because it fits so perfect spiritually in our lives. That when we When we sow a seed, we reap a tree.
Yeah.
Right? That produces 100, 60, 30 times that which was sown.
Amen.
Didn't Jesus tell a parable kind of sort of like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
More seeds can
and then,
fruit.
Yeah. Amen. So it only makes sense, and it's very, very, it's common spiritual sense that we reap more than we sow, but also in proportion to how much we sow. Hallelujah. Amen. Man, I got a bunch of scriptures here, but I'm gonna just take, for example, the mustard seed. Jesus used the mustard seed. He said that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, that it's like a smallest seed, but yet it produces this large, large plant for even the birds of the air to settle in. It's so big, a tiny little seed that even birds can settle in it. That's awesome, because he's saying that that's really cool. Do you guys realize that? That the sowing of spiritual kingdom seeds in people's lives can produce something that's huge. That's awesome. I mean, man, doesn't that like, wow, that encourages me just to, I mean, just the simple act of a smile, a kindness, a word of encouragement can do so much good. But also, the opposite of that is also true, right? Just a scowl, a dirty look, a harsh word can do just as much damage. And it can do even eternal damage. James said it like this, is the tongue. The tongue is a small muscle, a small, tiny spark. A whole forest can be set on fire by the tiniest spark. The tongue can set the smallest of your muscles, one of your smallest muscles can set your whole life course in a direction. And it can actually even set it so much of on a course direction that it can bring you to the place of eternal fire, hell. Wow. That's real. Amen? You guys following with me? Okay, you guys good? Everybody okay? Okay, let's go. Let's keep going on. That was one verse, Romans 8:37. Oh, you know, you guys know this? How come Jesus said this? Or not Jesus, I'm sorry, Paul. Paul in Romans chapter 8, he's talking about the love of God, and nothing can separate us from the love of God, neither height nor depth, neither angels nor demons, neither trials nor persecution. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And he says this phrase, for we are more than conquerors. How do you become, how is more than conquer even register to your brain? I don't know, but conquering, that's like you done it. I mean, you won. I mean, I don't know. I'm a big baseball fan, football fan. I love sports. I love competition sports. I love it. You know, at the end of the day, in watching a team that I like or us playing in our softball, if we end up with more points than them, we've won. It doesn't matter if it's 1 point or 50 points. It doesn't matter. We still won, right?
Yeah,
and here he uses this phrase, you're a more than a conqueror. How is that? Because it's the spiritual law of reaping what we sow. You actually are more than a conqueror. It's more than just winning. It's conquering, and it's more than conquering, because the reach is going to reach other souls, other lives. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. More than a conqueror. That's like, that's always, anyway, it's one of those ones that's always like, what? How does that even register as, how do you, anyway. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Given, it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. We always reap more than we sow, but in proportion to how much we sow. Amen? You guys catching on to this? This is every area of life. Are you getting it?
Yeah.
Is it sinking into like, okay, how do I do that? I can actually do that. I can give more than I'm even capable of giving. Not just financially, but even time and energy and love and mercy and kindness and good. I could do that. And according to his word, it will be pressed down. I mean, like shoved down in there so much so it's like, okay, you just gave an inch. I'm going to shove a mile into you. Oh man, that's good. That's I need that.
Amen.
I need that.
Amen.
I need that. How many of you ever pray this prayer? Because it's a prayer that I pray just for me personally. I pray it for even people that I know are struggling with things. Is, Lord, may every hour of their rest be like two to their body and their soul. Every hour of sleep be like two. I ask for God to do that. I ask for God to do that. I asked him to do that last night because I only got like a couple hours. I'm like, well, make those couple hours, just double them up for me, Lord. Would you do that for me? I'm asking him to do that thing. Put that principle into practice. Hello?
Amen.
You can do it in all areas of life. Amen. Okay, I'm going to move on. Number five is this. We only reap the full harvest if we persevere. Stick to it. Here's the thing is, this is interesting, and to know with this is a little side note or parentheses, bad seeds don't need sowing. Good seeds need work. They need work to come to harvest. Hello? Okay, let me say that again. Evil bad seeds, otherwise known as weeds, they don't need watering. They don't need tilling. They don't need fertilizing. They just pop up everywhere in cracks and nooks and crannies and places that I got this planter that's on my fence that I put fresh dirt in it, like store-bought fresh dirt in it, and I planted nice little flowers in it. And how does a weed get up there? A weed got up there and popped up and grew bigger than the flowers. How did that happen?
I don't know how.
I want to know because it's like it doesn't make any sense to me. How does that happen?
The wind blew it.
Oh, stop with that stuff. I don't want to know. It irritates the heck out of me.
Get over it.
I know, huh? Just pull it out. I know. But it's true. Have you ever noticed that? Have you noticed that? I mean, through cracks in concrete, weeds will pop up.
Now that I don't understand.
That's crazy. But here's the thing is, good seed needs work. It requires full attention. It requires a perseverance. It requires a tilling. It requires a fertilizing. It requires nurturing. Good seed requires work on our end. Amen? Amen. And that's a law. It's a principle that if you can't just show up and not put work into it and just expect something good. That's a mockery of God, honestly. It really is. It's, we think that I could just plop down and show up. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, though, it actually speaks of this. And so I'll read it really fast, and it's really good. It actually speaks directly to this very principle. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. We started out with Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. So let's do 9 and 10. He says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Amen. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the reaping and the sowing. That's the principle of basically that we reap the full harvest if we persevere, stick to it. Amen. Thank you. Number six is this, is we can't do anything about last year's harvest, only this year's. Except, humbly learn from the past. Humbly learn from our past. That's the only thing that we can do about last year's harvest, is humbly learn from it. But we do have direct influence on tomorrow. Today and tomorrow. We have a direct impact on tomorrow's harvest.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's why, and I'm going to just finish this up and follow it up, because that's why God the Holy Spirit impressed upon me to promote the tomorrows, the youth, the people of our community, of this church, of this household of faith, to say, let's lift them up, promote them, because they have the potential. Now, I'm not saying old people don't have, God's done with this and we're not, you know, old people. I include myself in there. God's not done using us. But we need to be intentional about promoting the youth, increasing the harvest. If we just forget and say, well, and I think I just need to speak it, and I'll speak it very clearly and then just move on. Just because I don't understand an entire culture, I do not have a right, I do not have the privilege, and it definitely isn't my responsibility to demean them and ridicule because they're not like me. Amen. The millennials, the youth, God has called them to be so glorious, so amazing. God is raising up this culture of young people for the last days to be gloriously used by Him. How dare us as older people say, well, they're just so confused and messed up and they can't find their way out of a shoebox and blah, blah, blah. And all they do is sit on their phones and play video games. Please, in Jesus' name, I repent. And you must repent if you speak those things. That is not okay. God is establishing the youth and He's using them in a way that is so awesome. I think I can't wait. I'm like blown away at what God is doing and is going to do in the youth of this culture and of this day. Amen. And amen to that. And if you want to sit and nitpick and find everything they're doing wrong, well, then go sit in a corner and do that. But just do it by yourself. Don't take anybody with you. No, I'm serious. And I'm serious. And if you catch me doing it, you better set me in my place and set me right. Except you. I don't know. He'll hurt me. Amen. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38 says, Jesus said to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly, earnestly, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Hallelujah. That is our war cry. That is what we need to be about. Praying earnestly to send out laborers into the harvest. Amen? Amen. Instructing, teaching, disciplining. Thank you, Don. I want to share real quick my personal story for just, I mean, just like a minute. And then Devin's going to come up here. I stand here today with a gorgeous, beautiful wife and a four amazing children. Amen. Simply because, first of all, God sowed His love into my life. Before I could ever even acknowledge that God exists, God sowed His love into my life through Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And then, God used amazing, obedient, loving individuals to come to this city of Lincoln and sowed love into my personal life at that very moment. And yes, it was Glenn and Linda and others in this community, but mostly Glenn and Linda, they sowed that love and they shared the gospel with me when I was in high school. They sowed those seeds and they took. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So Devin, come on up here because that's what he's about right now. This is so cool because I see it like, I'm not saying full circle yet, but I'm seeing the circle come about that here's one of my sons, one of Glenn and Linda's grandsons, that's sowing the same seeds into the American high schools across our country. Hallelujah. Amen. So Devin's going to share for a few minutes. And then we'll pray, close it up, and worship one more time. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey. Hi. So most of you know everything God's been doing in the last 2 or 3 years in the ministry I've been working with. It's called California School Project. I'm about to go back to school today, and so I'll be back down in L.A. working with the ministry. I've been working with this ministry for 2 years, like I said, and we work with high school students, just a quick overview. We work with high school student Christian clubs at public schools, middle schools, high schools, and we teach them how to share their faith how to disciple new Christians. And we use college students to do that. So I've been able to do that. I've been able to be a college student and to disciple and mentor younger people in that mission field. And so that's been the goal that God has given me, is to equip high schoolers and middle schoolers to be missionaries at their schools. ICA is a very dark place. It's probably one of the biggest mission fields we have. Probably not even just this country, but probably the world. They desperately need Jesus, and we all know that. So that's what I've been doing. I've been part of this ministry, and I've loved it. Over the last two years, just to share a little bit with you guys again, a lot of you have even seen trips happen up here. You've seen the work happen right here at Glen Edwards Middle School, at Lincoln High. You've seen a lot of people being changed. Just one story even was with Maya, one of our own. And it's been amazing to see how God's grown her when she was in that club, and how we were able to work with her. It's been a privilege to serve kids like that. And Joey, a lot of you might not know him, but man, God he's got a calling on that kid. He's only in eighth grade, and he leads his club by himself, and they do Bible studies every single week. He witnesses every single day to his friends. It's just a lifestyle to him now. He loves it. He reads his Bible every day faster and more than I am. It's really cool. Some other stories, like last week we had down in LA, I was able to help plan a missions trip going on there. In San Jose the week before, I've been able to see God do amazing things in all the schools there. Just this last week, we had about, I don't have the exact numbers yet, but I know at least like 2 or 3 dozen kids came to Christ at 3 different schools. And we had several recommitments to the Lord. They're being followed up with. They're going to be discipled, plugged into churches down there. And so even now, I think I'm in a really cool place. It's a blessing to be where I'm at, because I have a foot up here in Lincoln, here at my home church, and I have a foot down there in L.A. And so God's been able to use that to where Stephen has also played a part. He's mentoring Joey, that middle school. I'm able to work with him to where we can serve that school the best we can. We can work with other youth pastors in the area. It's really cool to see how God is actually orchestrating all this to where more schools are being able to have missionaries at their schools. And I get to be a part of it, and that's really exciting. And really, all of us do get to be a part of that, too. And that's where that brings us to now. And God has really shown me that a lot of learning has taken place these last 2 years, too. One of those things has been to really cultivate where I'm at and to leave a place better than when I left, when I got there. And so this is my public announcement, I guess, to my home church family. I wanted my home church family to be the first to know about this next step in my life. But I decided to apply for a staff position with this ministry and to stay down in LA for however long that looks like for what God is doing down there. And then who knows, I might be coming back up here in the next couple years and continuing that up here. But I wanted to invite all of you to support me in prayer. And I thank everybody who has supported me in other ways, in finances. It's been really a blessing to have this sort of community here. I can't find anything like it down in L.A. I've been looking for churches. It just doesn't exist. And so I thank you guys. Yeah, I really do. But I also ask you to continue praying for me, that God will continue to grow me in this way. And I'll be open to wherever he takes me next, in a lot of different areas. So that's what I wanted to share. Nothing else I can think of. I graduate in May. Yeah.
Don't go. We're gonna pray for him, and we're gonna lift out our hands to him, because as the Lord is doing this, this is real, very real. This isn't just trying to make him feel good or us feel good about. This is very real. The harvest is plentiful. The fields are ripe. So in Jesus' name, we continue to pray for the laborers. And we lift up Devin to you. We lift him up and ask for your anointing to be in him and through him and on him as he speaks, as he shares. May it be sensed. May your presence
be felt in kids' lives in Jesus' name, and may the encouragement that is coming from us to him, flowing through him, Lord, may it pass on to these young people that they may be used by you to bring the gospel to the lost, to the hurting, to the dying, to the searching. In Jesus' name, we ask that you use him. Use him as you see fit. In Jesus' name, by your Spirit, hallelujah, amen. And pray for all the provision that he needs to get this done, to keep on doing, to persevere, to stick with it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. For your glory, amen. Hallelujah. Amen.